now entering the starting block. Creative talk to inspire you on the race to your next project. This is a podcast for people who want to make stuff by people who make stuff. What's good, y'all?
Welcome back to another episode of The Starting Block. My name is Swain. I'm the host of the show. This is episode 3, and today we're talking about teaching. The episode is entitled, What Teaching Has Taught Me, and I thought it would be an interesting thing to delve into, because a lot of times when you hear teachers talk, they say things like, you know, I get more from my students than I give them, and I don't believe that's true, but it just goes to show that the relationship between the teacher and the student is a symbiotic one. And I have two great special guests who have joined me today to talk about this particular topic, Julie Bell and George Pratt. But before we get to my guests, I wanted to say that, you know, when I was younger and I was interested in comics and drawing and all that, you know, I was pretty dismissive of people who were only, quote, only teachers. I kind of fell into the mindset of, okay, if you can, you do, and if you can't do, you teach, and if you can't teach, then you teach gym. So, you know, that's a pretty shitty way to look at things, because teaching really is an art unto itself. The ability to communicate to another person, not only how you made something, but hey, here are the tools and here are the processes that I used. You can use them and you can apply them to your own work. You know, that's a skill and an art unto itself, and certainly more deserving of the respect that I did not give it when I was younger. I remember when my daughter was struggling with math, the quote, new math. And we got her a math tutor, Miss Yvette. Miss Yvette was great. She was, you know, she's smart, and you know, she was on top of her game, and you know, she would snap my daughter and, you know, get her on track. But you know, she was also really cool and warm and funny, and she'd call her Doodlebug and Ladybug, and she'd steal her nose if she got something right, and if she got something wrong, she'd steal her nose, you know, for that too. And so my daughter's grades improved immensely based on her interaction with Miss Yvette. And Miss Yvette used, like my daughter, like myself, is a very visual person. So Miss Yvette would use colors and shapes and all kinds of other techniques to teach her the math that she needed to learn. And like I said, her grades improved. And we were really appreciative of that. And she also, because she was so funny and warm and kind, you know, she gave a lot more than just an improved math grade to my daughter. She gave a lot to her in terms of her self-image and encouragement. And anyway, so I think that's something else that a teacher brings to the table and is often overlooked. So today we're celebrating teachers, and we want to hear from the teachers what teaching has taught them. So first up is Julie Bell. Julie Bell is a world-renowned, award-winning fantasy artist and wildlife painter. She's won awards. She's part of the core faculty at the Illustration Masterclass, which just wrapped up. And also, Julie is married to an artist, and she even mentions him in her piece. And I want to thank Julie for sending in the piece and being a part of this particular episode. This is Julie Bell.
Hi, I'm Julie Bell, and I'm an artist. And I am one of the core faculty members at the Illustration Masterclass, which is an artist's workshop that takes place every year in Amherst, Massachusetts. There's so many things that I've learned from being a teacher of these students. There's like usually close to 100 students every year. It's a lot of them, and they have a lot of experiences going on. But one story comes to mind that's helped me in my own art. There was a student, a young woman, and she had come to the master class specifically to work with me. She had wanted to do a painting. She likes the paintings that I do of animals a lot, and she wanted to paint an animal and have me kind of, you know, oversee what she was doing and help her out. So she came prepared with a painting that she had started the sketch and everything, and included a bear, a really nice big brown grizzly bear, and a figure in the painting. And it was a really good concept and layout and everything. And so it was a really perfect thing for her to learn this techniques with that painting. It was just right. And so anyway, she got started, and she was really happy and very optimistic about where it was going to go and everything. And then as I was telling her, you know, like how to get it started and just kind of block it in and that kind of thing, she was doing what I said, but she didn't have the years of practice and experimenting that I had done. And it didn't go right from, you know, 0 to 100 for her. It was, she reached a point where she was really, really unhappy with it. And so she came to me and said, you know, I'm having some trouble. Could you come and look at this? And so I went and looked at it. And honestly, what I saw was not a problem going on there. I just saw that, you know, she was expecting too much too soon and didn't realize this is just one of the stages that this thing goes through. The thing that was creating the biggest problem for her is that she had gotten kind of like overwhelmed with a fearful feeling that it was going to just be a big failure, and worse than that, that she was a big failure. And as I was explaining to her the kind of things that, you know, would help her and, you know, to make it get back on track for her, and I was just talking to her and looking at the painting, and then all of a sudden I turned around and I looked at her while I was talking to her, and I saw these gigantic tears in her eyes that were just shiny like little diamonds sitting there on her eyes. They were so shiny, like literally the light was just hitting them, and I could practically, in my memory, it's like I'm seeing lens flares and everything on these globe tears there. They're so beautiful tears. But it just really like got to my heart, and of course, you know, I realized how much this meant to her. And the thing is that she was wrapping up her entire concept of herself as an artist in this moment of not being able to see what she wanted to see in her painting. And it was just freaking her out and making her feel like she was a complete failure and not good, and she never had a chance of getting any better and all that. So, you know, the thing is that I realized that what happens when you're getting into that state of mind is you've really just stepped out of what you already know how to do. You've stepped out of your comfort zone, and your brain has basically frozen up in fear. This happens to myself and my husband and everybody I know who's an artist. We all go through these moments where fear takes us over in our painting and we feel like it's not going to work. And, you know, as a professional, you just learn to push through it and you keep going. But the thing is that in seeing it in a student and you're explaining to her about this, you know, you're putting it into words and you're realizing this fear just takes over and makes you feel like you can't do it. It made it clear to me to be able to explain it to her, what was going on in her mind that was keeping her from getting what she wanted out of this painting. And she was so close and she just didn't know it. She just had to go through a few little barriers there. So going through the motions with her and explaining these things to her really made me realize that it made me able really to practice what I preach in my own work. And whenever I catch myself getting all caught up in fear and feeling like running away from my painting and going into the kitchen and having some chocolate or something like that, or hide in the closet or something, put a blanket over my head, anything but sitting down and figuring out how to get through that doorway of that problem, it makes me realize that it's just a mental trick of my brain trying to make me stop. And I know now that I can get through those moments. And I think about this woman and her tears and her painting, and she was really happy after she went through this whole process and was very happy with her progress and the painting. So it was a great lesson for me and a really heartwarming experience.
Next up is my friend George Pratt. George is also an award-winning painter. He's a writer, he's a photographer. He's won Eisner Awards and Spectrum Gold Medals and whatnot. And he teaches full-time at the Ringling College of Art and Design in Sarasota and summers at the Illustration Academy in Kansas City, Missouri. And George is awesome. I think I told George, you know, try to keep it around 5 minutes or less. And of course, my man went for it. So here is George Pratt.
Swain has asked me to respond to the statement, what teaching has taught me. I've had laryngitis, so I'll just get through this anyway as best I can. First off, why teach? Well, I've always absolutely loved sharing information. I love turning people on to new things, new music, new ways of seeing, etc. It makes me feel really good. When the lights go on and you see it click for students, that's what it's all about, for me at least. A lot of what I teach I believe, is pretty basic stuff. The most important aspect is about learning to see in a new way. And once I've laid out the basic principles of color and composition, line quality, shape, value, etc., it really just boils down to doing a lot of it. You have to do it a lot. For some teachers, it seems like teaching is a power trip, a way to stroke their own ego. They hold their secrets close and only give students enough to hang themselves. They pass down, you know, dicta like it's the word of God. This is the way to draw a rock. This is the way you do this. This is the way. And to me, that's not teaching. I guess the fear of teaching is that you'll take away the magic, the stuff that you can't explain. And by codifying it, you'll realize that it's really, you know, simple equations, etc. But it isn't. There's still a lot of magic in it all. As much as I figured out over the years, there's still the magical aspect of the happy accidents and things like that. Discoveries still happen. And if they didn't, I don't personally think I could go on. Well, I'll be honest. Like when I watch anyone draw or paint, it really is like magic to me. Everyone else makes it look easy. I know it's not. I know I struggle with the things that I do for the most part. I mean, there are things that come easy, but I know also that like me, you know, everything that they are evidencing in their work and that they're doing was hard won, you know, through diligence and just hard work. I was fortunate to have a number of great teachers, like what I consider true teachers that helped me in numerous ways. Many weren't professional teachers, but working artists who took the time out of their schedules to talk with me, look at my work, give me advice. Without them, I would not have matured as quick as I did. I think I would have gotten there, but it would have been a lot more difficult than it was. Teaching forced me to dig deep inside and to try to understand and explain why I do the things the way that I do. That's not easy because so much of what I do is really intuitive. Color, let's say, I have a feeling for color. It's backed by some knowledge. I had a really good color course when I was in art school, but man, it was it did not click with me. I had to really struggle through it. What I do with color is so intuitive, and it's still backed by what I later, you know, learned and figured out, but I still go with my gut. You know, I still am trying to understand it all. I know the basics, and it informs a lot of my decisions, but so much of it is just putting color down and seeing what happens. I bring in my knowledge of simple complementary colors and secondaries, tertiaries, but so much is just gut and seeing it when it hits. The immediate instinct is gut. Once it hits the canvas or panel is when the decision-making happens for me. I don't do a ton of mixing on my palette. At the start, I was asked questions about why I did certain things the way I would, and I would freeze when I first started teaching because I'd never asked myself those questions. I just did the work and struggled on through. I kept pushing and pushing and failing, you know, a ton, and like, through those failures, you know, is when things happen. And not all of the failures are bad, because that's the happy accident stuff that I really love, you know. So teaching pushed me to explain what I was doing. So while I was helping students, ultimately I was really helping myself in tons of different ways. I teach through example. I demonstrate a lot because that's what helped me tremendously as a student. The only teacher in school that did that was Baron Story when I was in school, and it had a profound effect on me. I'm a visual person, and seeing is believing. When I see something being done, it makes sense to me. That was powerful, and so I've carried that with me as a teacher. Show, don't tell. That's something that I've read a lot in books about writing. But it's also woven into a lot of what I believe and practice in my own work. I'm not a delineator. I don't sit and noodle, and, you know, I'm not about tons of details in my work. I'm more into the mood and the emotion, that side of it. Less is more. The telling detail rather than details per se. A lot of teachers don't demo, and I'm not sure why, other than it's basically working without a net. Things, and, you know, and I guess too, it's like, if you do it in front of the students, maybe they see that it's not as complicated as people would like others to believe. It's just, but it's frustrating, and it can be very difficult, the things that you do, and it does take a lot of work. Things can go wrong, and they do pretty often during demos. But you know, that's exciting too. If you crash and burn, it's good for the students to see that, because we do crash and burn. And even better, if they see you crash and burn and then extricate yourself from that mess, that's really valuable information. I teach during the summers at the Illustration Academy, and everyone that teaches there demonstrates. You have to. It's part of the power of the Academy. And I remember Chris Payne one time diving into a demo in front of like 50 or 60 students, and things went south really bad. And Chris, he never flinched. He continued his monologue and threw out some funny jokes, and you know, and he does some physical comedy and all that about how it was going to hell. And I think, like, think about an overblown reaction of surprise and dismay in a Bugs Bunny cartoon kind of way. That's Chris. But he calmly, throughout all that, he's working his way through it. And that to me was so much more impressive than his usually, you know, impressive demo, because they saw like something that really went bad in a bad way, and he pulled that fat out of the fire. It all came down to his drawing skill and his knowledge of value, color, etc. And looking at that piece, you had no idea that he walked on like glass splinters to get out of that thing. You have to be willing to give it all up as a teacher. Yeah, you got to drop the ego and realize that it's really not about you. It's about the same shit you struggled to learn. And that's generally, you know, you were lucky enough to be given by others who gave it up. You know, it's still a struggle. Just because you see it doesn't mean you can do it. And it's going to still take lots of practice for those people for these students to make that happen. Knowing what you have to do as a student, knowing the information, is really only half the battle, or let's say a third of the battle. The real battle is just in the doing. You still have to be able to put that information into practice, and there's a huge pile of things that are working against you in order to do that. Your drawing skills, compositional skills, whatever. There's a ton of roadblocks. You know, and I bore really easily, and I try to explain to students the importance and the need to stay creative throughout what is hopefully a long and productive career. It's easy to burn out. So how do you keep the excitement? For me, it's not knowing. So teaching has taught me so much more about why I do the things that I do, and opened up so much more within me than if I was just sitting at home, you know, doing what I do on autopilot. You know, it forced me to really think about what I do and why I do it. And then also how to explain it. If I can explain it, I understand it better. And that to me is what teaching is all about, as well as just the joy of sharing knowledge. So anyway, I hope this helps, and thanks for the opportunity. Take care, Swain.
That's going to do it for this episode of The Starting Block. I appreciate you tuning in. I appreciate my guests, Julie Bell and George Pratt, for jumping on the microphones with me. And until the next episode of The Starting Block, keep making stuff.